Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms. And we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. And we're looking for the high-level strategies that actually work in today's market. And I knew I had to get Michael Smith on this episode today because, as you're about to see, Michael Smith is a global technology executive who is a partner at Fortium Partners. Fortium is the largest technology leadership as a service firm in the United States, supporting customers in the US and Canada. Michael, what a pleasure to have you here. Really looking forward to today's episode.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. So, Michael, you actually didn't start in IT. You started in theater and criminology. And because of that, you've been praised for your ability to speak boardroom and speak data center at the same time, which I know is insanely difficult for most business owners. So for the business owner listening who feels like their tech teams don't understand their business goals, how do we fix that translation problem?
Well, I think most of it needs to come from the IT side, right? So whether or not, now I was fortunate that I didn't start my career in IT, so started on the business side. So I understood business operations and how a business operates and grows and things like that, and then moved into IT. So I had an advantage on that. But if an individual has grown up in the technology industry, it is imperative upon them to make sure that the company they work for, they're taking time to really understand what does the business do, because that's going to position that leader to know how technology can best be aligned to what the organization's trying to achieve. So it's on the technology leader to make sure they understand what their business does.
Absolutely. And when it comes to tech, I guess, who would you say is kind of the forerunner here? Because I've heard this from both sides. Is it more the operations that's leading tech, or is it more sales that's leading tech? What would be your opinion on that?
Well, I guess it depends on what perspective you're looking at. So from an operational perspective, when you think about technology, that is what is enabling the organization to achieve their strategic goals. From a sales perspective, again, it depends upon what perspective you're looking at. Sales from within a technology industry that is selling their services and their solutions, or sales within the company that technology is enabling. So I think it just kind of depends on the perspective of what you're looking at. But at the core of everything, when you think about any organization, any industry, technology is the centerpiece of that company, right? It's almost impossible for a company to exist without having some type of technology footprint. And the goal is to make sure that the technology that organization is using is the correct technology that's driving their objectives forward, whether it be from an operational or whether it be from a sales strategy perspective.
Absolutely. And have you seen a big push from your clients when it comes to AI?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The biggest challenge, and I'm a massive advocate with AI and machine learning, but many people that are in my industry know that AI and machine learning are not new. They've been around for decades. Matter of fact, when you watch the movie Hidden Figures, which is about three women that worked for NASA and helping to get men into space, right? And it was the whole space race between Russia and the United States. There was this whole mathematical group of individuals that were doing all the calculations, and then they brought in an IBM mainframe system. And that was kind of the beginning stages of where companies like NASA were able to take scenarios and be able to create machine learning of how those scenarios could change on a daily, if not an hourly basis, while NASA was trying to do all their computations. And this group then, of course, one of the individuals' characters in the movie, learned how to utilize IBM and then ultimately transferred their team over to utilizing these mainframe systems. And that was the birth of machine learning and even the birth of artificial intelligence. What's really changed here recently is more of the front-end consumer-facing AI tools that we see of Claude, Grok, ChatGPT, things like that. But the biggest concern I have right now with the explosion of AI is that a lot of companies think, well, if we just implement AI, we're going to solve a lot of our problems, right? Whether that means that we need to reduce our workforce or we can drive operational reduction in cost. The reality is their environment needs to be structured in a way to support AI. not only from an infrastructure, but also from an application and data perspective. And right now, a lot of companies that are selling AI solutions are really not focusing on what the company needs to first do to prepare themselves for introducing AI into the organizations. And unfortunately, many companies are just jumping in both feet and buying the technology, but really do not have a strategy, nor is their environment really ready to take that on. And they're probably going to struggle getting a strong ROI off their investment.
Super interesting there. And I'm curious, you were talking about the steps. So like the first step, right? What is your steps that you usually take your clients through? Because I know right now everybody's trying to invest in AI. So what does that process actually look like once they sign up with you?
Yeah. Well, the number one is data, right? Without data, AI cannot work. And it's interesting what some of the major players have done. When you think of AWS, you think of Microsoft with Copilot, you think of Google Analytics, different things like that. It's funny that a lot of these companies have deployed their front-end tools to allow individuals to start utilizing those tools by putting in what's generally considered English language queries, right? It's just common questions, things like that, that you would historically wouldn't be how you would access data, right? And just creating kind of that user-friendly English narrative of being able to find the data that you're wanting. But what's really happening is those companies are utilizing millions of people that are utilizing their tools right now to train their learning language models, which is what's key to the machine learning piece, to be able to improve the results of the data that they're trying to generate. And it's actually ingenious because it's like they've got this free workforce around the entire world that's training their LLMs to actually be much better products and services. And so data is the number one aspect that you need to make sure that you have clean data and good data. But you also need to make sure that your environment, whether you're a cloud-enabled environment, an on-premise environment, or a hybrid of both on-premise and cloud, that your infrastructure is designed correctly to be able to take advantage of some of these AI technologies. And then the final piece of that is the security. There's a lot of risk when you start utilizing some of these front-end tools that are publicly available, that if you haven't brought that technology within your own environment, when you're putting queries and questions and statements out on the web to get results, you very well could be releasing your intellectual property of your company without you realizing it. And that can create a significant risk to companies that they lose the intellectual property that they have because now they're utilizing tools that are out there unsecured and open to the environment because they really haven't looked at their environment to structure it to bring those technologies in-house to secure their IP and secure their own operations.
That's crazy. And I've heard a lot when it comes to the security side of stuff of just really how bad it is. So I totally agree with you there. And I've heard this crazy stat. I forget the exact number, but it was like most companies who implement AI haven't seen an ROI. How are you guys different? How are you guys ensuring that your clients are seeing that ROI?
Majority of it is education. Right. And I think the statistic you're referring to is stating that 95% of companies have not received a measurable return on their investment that have started investing in AI. Now, some of that is early stages of AI. Again, it's been around for years, but more of what people are seeing in the last few years, the workforce productivity tools and things like that, that's still relatively new in the industry. And so you do expect there is going to be a curve of a period of time for investment and then start to get that ROI back. But for some of the companies that have been in this process for a little bit longer, they still have not received measurable ROI. So again, it's all about educating companies that, again, we're massive advocates of AI. But there's a lot of preparatory steps that you need to really consider within your own environment before you start bringing in that type of technology. And like any other innovative technology, if you've got a strong business case and you've got a strong strategy of how you're going to adopt those tools, then you are going to receive an ROI value off of that. It's just most companies are skipping that step because maybe they're feeling pressure of the fear of missing out and they're wanting to jump on and acquire those tools, but they really haven't developed a strong business case or they haven't really evaluated their environment if it's best suited to take on those technologies. And that in itself is going to create a significant lag, if an elimination of the ability of getting a return on the investment versus what they paid to bring those technologies in-house.
For sure. And one thing you were just talking about there is that concept of in-house. Now, I was talking to a buddy about this a few days back, and he was talking about how he's actually buying servers for himself as it becomes very expensive when you're front roading like Claude and that type of stuff if you're having it run 24 hours a day. Do you actually recommend that companies have their own server in-house, or do you, it's not necessary?
No, they don't have to. I mean, again, you can create your own private cloud, right? Working with a hosting provider where they're hosting your equipment. And again, that's your private cloud, right? Because in cloud solutions, and again, this would generally be with Azure, which is Microsoft's product, or AWS, which is Amazon's product. They're if you strip everything away, they're a data center, right? And they have all the server and networking equipment there that they host that. And then you can either host your application within their public environment, which is generally going to be a lot more costly because every transaction is going to have a price tag associated with that. Or you can use that technology to extend your own data center. And now you have a hosted offsite data center where you have virtual equipment. Again, there's physical hardware there, but you're creating virtual servers based upon that environment. And you can still enhance and enforce the security credentials that you need to protect your own data, even though that may be in a hosted facility because it's in a private environment.
That's awesome advice. That's actually really, really good advice. Because, I mean, that's something that's becoming more and more important is exactly where you're hosting it. I mean, that's critical. And one thing that you kept saying was the environment. Uh-huh. You kept saying that over and over. Just for the listeners who aren't that tech savvy, what do you mean when you keep saying the environment?
So the environment would be the holistic infrastructure environment. So when you think about if you walk into an organization, let's say you work for a brick and mortar company, and you go in and you log into your laptop, your desktop, and now you're in the network, you're within the environment of that organization, right? So environment means everything from the switches that allow devices, computer devices, or any type of electronic devices that may have an IP address associated with them to be able to communicate with each other, right? But it also includes the servers. It includes any of the other applications associated with how the operation works. But then you also have routers, and those routers are what allow you to then communicate with other locations or communicate out to the web and be able to do that securely. And sometimes you'll hear the concept of a router and a firewall being used interchangeably. And they could be one and the same, right? From that perspective, that the firewall is what's protecting external threats from coming into your environment, but it also is allowing communication to go from outside of the environment into the internet, pulling data in and then bringing that back in, generally in an encrypted or secured way based upon how that firewall is configured and that router is managed.
Great explanation. And I guess for our listeners, what would you say is a simple win that our listeners could go ahead and implement quickly if they're planning to start using AI? What is the first steps that you would recommend for them?
One easy way to really kind of get value and it value to be fairly quick and seeing a quick win or a simple win would be dependent upon the software and the applications they're utilizing. So if they're currently utilizing any type of SaaS applications, and that could be anything from Salesforce or HubSpot or Microsoft CRM or, you know, any type of web-based application that is provided by a SaaS provider. Many of those SaaS providers now have AI agents and they have AI bots and they have different things like that to where if you are brand new to wanting to take advantage of AI, that is a low risk, high value a possibility because there's an opportunity to streamline and to automate a lot of processes that historically may have been done manually through some type of human integration or interaction that now you're actually having AI replace some of those manual repetitive tasks and automating those using AI agents and AI bots. And again, that's a low risk, high value ability. And then you can kind of start to branch out and start taking advantage of more advanced AI capabilities. But again, at the same time, you need to make sure that you have done the necessary work to clean up your data, to make sure, again, your environment, your infrastructure can support that. And then also make sure that you're developing the necessary security and governance controls to protect your intellectual property, protect your data, and ultimately achieve what you're trying to accomplish by bringing in those technologies into your company.
Amazing. Michael, where can people go to learn more about you?
They can go out to our website at fortiumpartners.com. They can also reach out to me directly, and they can email me at michael@fortiumpartners.com.
Amazing. Michael, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you allowing me to be on.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you on the next episode of Simple Wins. Bye-bye for now.